Can we open this time with a word of prayer? Yes. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for every opportunity and privilege that you give us to worship you, to be able to call you our Father, and to be able to come together as a family that you have given us here at Grace City, to be able to worship you together, to be able to come into your presence together. Lord, where we are able, Father, to enjoy your presence, where we are able to encounter your glory. Lord, we don't take any of these for granted. Lord, we thank you, O Lord, that you have also given your word to us. And your word, Lord, that brings life to us. Your word that brings transformation to us. Your word that is spirit. And Lord, even as we tune in, Lord, even right now, and Lord, we know that even during the worship, we are already tuned in. But even as, Lord, we just come before you right now, we want to place ourselves at your feet, O Lord. And we say, Lord Jesus, come and speak to us this morning. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see. Give us hearts, O Lord, to receive. And let your word, O Lord, bring life and transformation. Let your word bring such a change within us that we will walk out of this place not the same again. We thank you, Lord, and we entrust ourselves to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I wonder how many of you have ever taken someone's suggestion and you followed that guy's suggestion and you landed up in hot soup. How many of you have ever done that? The rest of you have never been in hot soup before, right? In just mainly cold soup, right? How many of you were here last Sunday and you remembered the story that Pastor Jim shared of how he was conned by his friend at 10 years old, you know, and he was conned by his friend to take something and to hide under his jacket and to walk out, but he was caught and the friend took off, right? Landed up in hot soup. I hope that none of us, all right, will land up in such a predicament. But I also wonder, how many of you have ever heard the voice of God? You heard the word of God. You felt a leading and a call of the Lord. And you obeyed the Lord. You followed that leading. And as you obeyed that leading, you thought that it will be such an inspirational expression of your faith. You thought that it would be such a commendable demonstration of courage, and then you walked straight into a storm. Then you followed Jesus, you've remembered that you followed Jesus, you thought that you heard his call, but you ended up in a storm. You ended up in hot soup, in that sense. Have any of you had that feeling before? I know some hands would shoot up very high. The truth is, right, I think if all of us have followed Jesus at some point in time and followed his call at some point in time, we might have ended up in a storm. Chances are we have ended up in a storm before. And you know, this was similar to what the disciples of Jesus experienced and what they encountered not long after they decided to follow Jesus. They decided to heed his call. And so the question that we have this morning is not so much how could we avoid walking into a storm, but I would like to share how can we keep our faith in the midst of a storm. And so this morning we'll be looking at Mark chapter 4. Now I thought I want to give a bit of a context and a background to Mark chapter 4, a little bit of an overview as well, because we will not be covering the whole of Mark chapter 4. But by this time in Mark chapter 4, Jesus has already named and he has called his disciples. He has called them to follow him, right? And they would have followed Jesus and they witnessed Jesus healing the sick. They saw him casting out demons. They heard him teaching with exceptional authority. And in Mark chapter 4, the first 34 verses, Jesus was teaching the crowds by the sea, by the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. And he was teaching them on the kingdom of God, and he was using parables. Now, parables are ways to illustrate the truth about the kingdom of God using everyday objects, using everyday ideas. But you see, the thing about parables is that the deeper meaning of the parables, the truths that are behind these parables, are only available to those who will actually hear and obey. Those who will actually hear and act upon the word. Which is why Jesus said, let him who has ears, let him hear. Because we can have ears, but we don't hear. And the word hear has the implication that we are not just hearing, but we are responding to what we hear as well. And so to those who hear the word of God, parables, and the word of God, but they have no intention to act upon it, then the truths of God's word will remain obscure and unfruitful. And so if we are reading the word of God, and we are saying, how come I can't seem to be getting so much out of it, like a revelation or revelatory truth out of it? Try putting into practice what we read, and then we will receive the revelation. So after Jesus completed his teachings on the kingdom of God, he then called his disciples to move on in their ministry itinerary. And this is where we come to our main passage for this morning. And that is in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And as we read this passage from 35 to 41 itself, it's about the story or the event, the incident that they had, the stormy incident that they had out at the lake. There are three points that I'd like to share this morning on keeping faith in the midst of a storm. And the first point is this: following Jesus into the storm. Following Jesus into the storm. Let's read verse 35 to 37. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. Now, it was already evening. But since Jesus told them to cross the lake, to cross the Sea of Galilee to the other side, the disciples then proceeded with unquestioning faith and obedience. I mean, you would have thought that it was already evening. They might have just spent the night there and crossed the sea the next day when there's light. But you see, after all the powerful miracles that they saw, after all the healings that they witnessed, the astounding teachings they heard, the disciples were like literally walking in the clouds already, right? So what could go possibly wrong? What could possibly go wrong? But as we read, when they were already well out into the lake, there was a great windstorm, a furious storm that came in. And in fact, the storm was so bad that the boat was already getting filled up with water by the waves that were crashing over the boat. And these were experienced fishermen. They were experienced boatmen, and they were thinking that they might actually just drown. They might actually just lose their lives in this storm. How could this happen? They clearly heard the word of Jesus to go across. They obeyed the word of Jesus. But it turned out that following Jesus actually led them into a storm. How could this happen? Yes, following Jesus can possibly lead us into a storm. That's the point. When we make a decision to follow Jesus as our Savior and as our Lord, when we are determined to follow Him and to go deeper and to go further with Him, there will be squalls, there will be storms up ahead. Perhaps we may be ostracized, perhaps we may be mocked or persecuted for our faith, or persecuted for our commitment to uphold our godly values, say in the workplace. Perhaps we may be dismissed from our workplace or be kicked out of our family even. Perhaps when we decide to follow Jesus, we may have close friends or family members who walk out on us. Perhaps we may have to take a substantial financial pay cut, or we may have to learn how to live without having a financial cushion, financial savings. And instead of the picture that you imagine in your mind when you follow Jesus, that you will be moving in power, you'll be healing the sick, casting out demons, and raising the dead. Instead, we encounter wave after wave of problems, swells of crisis. We get blown about by the winds of discouragement and resistance that threaten to knock us over and to drown us in the sea of despair and hopelessness. And as we look around us, the wind and the waves, we begin to wonder, did we hear God correctly? Fear creeps in. Doubt floods our minds, and our faith in Christ starts to waver. Now, I have had my fair share of storms that I had to weather through in my life as a follower of Christ. In my personal life, in my work life, even in ministry. And I'll share with you a more recent story. In 2022, 2022 was the year that I joined Grace City Church as a pastor. And it was also the year that I was completing my final semester, my final term of studies, theological studies. It was towards the end of the year then. And then my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, along with other health complications. And she had to undergo chemotherapy with all the trips and all the medical appointments. My younger sisters had to bear the load of caring for my mom. But I was the oldest in the family. I was the eldest in the family. I was the only son. So rightfully, that responsibility was mine. At one point, my mom had to be admitted into the intensive care unit, and she almost did not make it out of it. It was a stormy period for me then. I had to decide whether should I return to Singapore for an indefinite period of time to assist my mom or to assist my sisters, but that would mean that I have to forego my remaining studies, take a pause on my ministry, and possibly leave my family behind here to manage on their own. But frankly, I was even considering whether I should be relocating back with my family back to Singapore. And I was, at that time, wondering if that storm had arose because of my decision to serve here in Grace City. I was also wondering should I even have crossed the sea from Singapore to Perth? Maybe I should have waited for the right time instead. Did I hear God right? Honestly, at that time, I wanted to just drop everything and return back to Singapore. But as I travelled on and pressed on in prayer, I recalled those moments when God spoke and He impressed upon my heart the call to move from Singapore to Perth. The call to step into my studies, the call to step into ministry here at Grace City Church. And so, I eventually made the difficult decision to take the step of faith and to entrust everything into God's hands and to keep on moving along this path. I committed my mom and my sisters to the Lord, and I prayed that He would give my mom a miraculous healing. I prayed that He would give my sisters the grace and the strength to carry on. And I prayed that He would give me the joy of seeing my mom and my sisters again once my studies are done. And praise the Lord, God did answer my prayer, and He granted grace to me and my family. He healed my mom, He carried my sisters through, and I was able to see them back in Singapore later that year. So, brothers and sisters, even if we do end up landing up in a storm, when we choose to follow the call of Jesus, don't lose heart and don't lose faith. Take our eyes off the wind and the waves. Turn to Jesus and keep on following Him. And that brings me to my second point. Turning to Jesus and trusting Him in the midst of the storm. Let's read on Mark chapter 4, verse 38 and 39. But He was in the stern, Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now, of all the disciples that were in the boat that evening, there were at least four of them who were experienced fishermen and skilled boatmen. Do you know who are the four of them? Who were the experienced fishermen and the skilled boatmen? Who are the four of them? You have Simon, Andrew, James, and John. At least four of them. And they had experience with rough seas and rough weather. They knew exactly what they were supposed to do when there is rain and when there is a storm. But on that stormy evening, they tried their very best. But the wind and the waves were relentless, and the waves were overwhelming their boat. Then they finally turned to Jesus, who had been sleeping soundly, as it appears, on a cushion. Although it said cushion, but it's probably more like a sandbag that was used for as a ballast for the boat. And at that point, when they woke Jesus, their sentiment towards Him was actually quite telling. The way they spoke to Jesus was more of frustration and exasperation rather than a humble request. I mean, here they were, right? They were huffing and puffing at their wits' ends, trying to save the boat, trying to save themselves, and Jesus was apparently sleeping through the entire drama and the ruckus that was going on all around Him, appearing to be unbothered and appearing to be nonchalant. Now, despite seeing all the wonderful miracles and the healings, the powerful deliverances of Jesus earlier, all the disciples could see at that point in time was the stormy sea and a sleeping Jesus. And instead of seeing a Jesus who is sleeping soundly because of His quiet faith and His confidence in God, they saw a sleeping Jesus who did not seem to care. Their faith in Jesus had given way to fear, and fear gave way to doubt. They were starting to doubt the goodness and the kindness of Jesus. And so, they presumptuously assaulted the character of Jesus by saying this, "Teacher, Do you not care that we are perishing? Oftentimes, in the midst of a storm, it's very easy for us to fall into the same attitude, the same set of assumptions as the disciples. God, where are you in the midst of all this storm? Why is it that you don't seem to be doing anything? Why is it that you are not stopping this storm? God, do you even care about my well-being? Do you love me? In the apparent silence and inaction, we too have focused on the storm that's around us and we allow fear to come in. We get frustrated, we get exasperated that God did not seem to notice our efforts to stay afloat, to make ends meet, to hold everything together. We get angry with God that He could have prevented the storm, but He did not prevent the storm. Perhaps we might even blame God and resent Him for the storm. We choose to see a sleeping Jesus, and we doubt the goodness of God and His character. But as we saw here in this event, in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, after the disciples turned to Jesus, what happened? He got up. He commanded the wind and the sea to be quiet and still, and they immediately died down. The storm ceased, and the disciples, as well as the other boats that were with them, they were all saved. So, brothers and sisters, Jesus does care. He does hear. And He responds and He saves when His disciples turn to Him and ask for help. And I want you to know that the goodness of God is unchanging. I mean, we read of this in the New Testament. Let us read something from the Old Testament, from Psalms 145, chapter 17 to 20. In fact, I'd like to invite all of us to read this psalm together. So can we stand and shall we read this psalm together? Psalm 145, verses 17 to 20. Let us read this together. Verse 17. The Lord is righteous in everything He does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on Him. Yes, to all who call on Him in truth. He grants the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love Him, but He destroys the wicked. Lord, we acknowledge that You are righteous in everything that You do. And Lord, we acknowledge that You are full of kindness. We thank You, Lord, that You are close to all who call on You, to all who call on You in sincerity and truth. We thank You that You grant the desires of those who fear You. We thank You that You hear our cries for help, and that You will rescue us. We thank You, Lord, that You protect all who love You, and we commit to You the wicked. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we take a seat, please? So, brothers and sisters, in the midst of a storm, don't allow fear to overtake us. Don't allow fear to cause us to doubt the goodness of Christ Jesus and to doubt the heart and the goodness of our Heavenly Father. Instead of focusing our eyes on the storm and on the waves that are around us, turn our eyes to Jesus. Fix our gaze on Him. Fix our hearts on Him. call out to him for help. He is close to us when we call out to him in sincerity. He hears us, and he will rescue us and deliver us. Amen? Our third point for this morning: encountering Jesus as Lord in the midst of a storm. Jesus as Lord. Let's read the remaining verses, verses 40 and 41 in Mark 4. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now, up to this point, the disciples have witnessed, they saw Jesus as the miracle healer who has authority over sicknesses and diseases. They saw Jesus as the one who has unquestioned authority over demons, over the spiritual forces of evil. They saw Jesus as a teacher who speaks and who teaches with exceptional authority and acumen. But to witness Jesus commanding the wind and the waves, and that the wind and waves would actually respond to his voice, that was a whole new level. That was a new revelation. Because you see, the disciples understood that it was possible for a mighty man of God, like Jesus, to work powerful miracles and to speak with the anointing and with the unction of God. But only the Creator, Almighty God, is able to calm the wind and the waves. Only the Creator and Almighty God is able to calm the wind and the waves. Can we have the next slide, please? In Psalm 89, verses 8 and 9, it's just one of the many passages that tells and speaks of how God, who is the God of creation, is only the one, he's the only one who has power over creation. And this was why when the disciples saw Jesus, when they saw the wind and the waves obey the voice of Jesus, they were terrified. They were filled with fear. Because all this while, they have been seeing Jesus as just another man. He's just another human. Maybe just another mighty prophet. Just another mighty teacher. But this time round, they realize that Jesus is God himself. Jesus is not only the Lord of the Sabbath in Mark chapter 2 that we saw, he is now also revealed as the Lord of creation, and he's sovereign over both the physical and spiritual realms. The disciples did not realize that the Creator, Almighty God, was literally in the boat, in the storm with them. And hence, Jesus asked them pointedly, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Have you still no faith?" Now, perhaps for many of us who are in Christ, we may have heard and we may have encountered Jesus at various times as our provider, as our healer, as our protector. We would also have professed often and sung countless number of times that Jesus is Lord. But it is often only in the midst of the storm that we will actually see and experience the true glory and the light of Jesus for who he truly is. Jesus, the Lord of all. And Jesus is Lord. He is sovereign over our lives. He is Lord over every situation in our lives. Can you say every situation? Jesus holds the final word, and He has the final say over every situation in our lives. Jesus only has to say the word. At the word of Jesus, chaos will turn to order. Tumult will turn to peace. Despair will turn to joy. The sick and the broken healed. The oppressed set free. The lost found. The dead are raised. At the word of Jesus. So if you are in a pickle, if you are in a storm, and if you are in the same boat as Jesus because you were following His call, then I say to you, do not be afraid. Have faith in Jesus. Turn to the person next to you and say, have faith in Jesus. Jesus, the sovereign Lord over all creation and the Lord of lords, He is the one who has the final say over our situation and our life. So, resist the devil's attempts to overtake us with fear. Submit ourselves to God in prayer and abiding in His word. And have faith in Jesus. Would you do that? Amen? Amen. Following Jesus will be a life journey that will be filled with both awesome moments and perplexing moments. There will be moments of joyful breakthroughs, of triumphant victories, and there will also be times of trials and storms of various sorts, various intensities, as we follow Jesus. Now, when we face a storm in life, you might hear that some people would point out that these are satanic attacks, these are spiritual warfare. While this may be true, I want to encourage you to always remember that our Lord God is still the Most High God, and He is sovereign over all. Do you recall what Joseph in the Old Testament said to his brothers in Egypt when they were reconciled? Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Genesis 50, 50, verse 20. Joseph said this to his brothers, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Oftentimes, we hear Christians say this, you meant evil, what the devil meant for evil, God turned it for good. I'd like to say that's not very accurate. If you read Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, it says this, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. That means right at the onset of it all, God had allowed it, and He had already purposed for it to be good. He did not turn it around as an afterthought. He meant it for good. The Lord is sovereign. So for those who are in Christ Jesus and who follow Jesus with a genuine heart, I want you to know Satan can do nothing to us without the permission of God. Did you hear that? Look at the life of Job. Read the life of Job in the book of Job, and you would see what happens in the heavenly realms. Satan cannot do anything to us without the permission of God. If we are following God, that is. If we are not following God, it's a different matter. And so if God does permit it, then He has already purposed for that situation and that storm to have a greater good that will bring much glory to Christ. And God will see to it that that storm will not drown us or break us beyond repair. Amen? If God permits it, that storm is God's appointed way for us to test and see where our faith is. And what is to reveal to us what is our faith made up of. That storm is meant for us to learn how to turn to God, to depend on Him, to trust in Him, to exercise faith in Him. And that storm is meant for us to catch and to receive a greater revelation of who Jesus is, because Jesus is the bedrock of our faith. And this is how our good Heavenly Father will help us to grow in our faith and to grow in our confidence in who Jesus is. And this is how our Father will help us to mature in our relationship with Him as His Son and as His daughter. Just think about it. If you understand that God, the God that we are serving, is the sovereign Lord over all creation, over the spiritual realm and the physical realm, what will that make you if you are His Son and His daughter? Have you actually thought about that? By the way that we live our lives, it will reveal to us how much we have grasped this truth and this revelation by the way we live our lives. And today, if we are faced with a storm in life, not because we are following Jesus, we are in a storm, but it's not because we follow Him, but it's because we are walking contrary to Him, or that we are running away from Jesus. That storm is also God's means of grace to catch our attention and to stop us in our tracks so that we will turn back to Him in repentance. It is also God's means of grace. And this was like the example of Jonah, the prophet in the Old Testament, where he ran away, he tried to run away from the call of God. And this was also the case for the prodigal son that Jesus spoke of, who absconded from his father. God the Father, this is how God the Father, in His love and in His mercy, would call us back to Himself. In a storm of life, with howling winds of discouragement, raging waves of challenges that threaten to overwhelm us and to shipwreck our faith and to shipwreck our life, we need an anchor that is sure, that is steadfast, and that is unchanging. And that anchor is Christ Jesus. We must not allow what we see around us to stir up fear within us, to cause us to blame God or to doubt His character, to doubt His kindness, His love, and His faithfulness. And just because God appears to be silent or He appears not to be doing anything at that moment in time, we must not doubt and assume that He is sleeping or that He does not care or He does not hear us. Because, brothers and sisters, the unchanging truth is that God does love His children and He does care for us, and He will surely save those who are His, those who call out to Him in sincerity. So, do not doubt or be afraid. Turn to Christ Jesus, our anchor. Hold on to Him. I wonder how many of you remember the children's song that we used to sing in Sunday school. That if we are in the same boat and we are in the same vessel as Christ Jesus, then we can smile at the storm as we go sailing home. How many of you remember that song? With Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. There are lessons of faith and there are lessons of Jesus that we learn best only through the storms in life. When we choose to follow Jesus, none of us will be insulated or immune to these storms. I can personally attest to this. But we can rest assured that if we are following Jesus, then He is also present with us, and He is walking through the storm with us. The Sovereign One, the Lord of all creation, is in the boat with us. So again, brothers and sisters, do not be afraid. Do not lose faith. Turn to Jesus. Call out to Jesus. Hold on to Him. He hears us. He cares about us. And He will save us and see us safely through to the other side. Amen. I'd like to invite you right now to just close your eyes. I'd like to invite you to take this moment right now to hear what God is saying to you. What is the Spirit of God putting in your heart and in your mind right now? I want to invite you, whatever that the Lord is putting into your heart and mind, would you please now respond to Him. Perhaps you might have been afraid to follow Him because of a storm. And perhaps He might be saying to you, you don't have to worry. I will walk through whatever you go through when you follow Me. So would you respond to Him and say, yes, Lord, I'll follow You. Perhaps you are in the midst of a struggle and a difficulty. You are in the midst of a storm right now. And perhaps you are starting to doubt the goodness of God. Jesus cares for us. He does hear us. He will not let us go. Would you respond to Him and say, Lord, I thank You for Your presence. Lord, I hold on to You and I choose to believe that You are good, that You are faithful, and You will see me through to the other side. Or perhaps you're going through something and someone and the people around you are saying, you know what? There's no hope. This is impossible. This is just too tough. And perhaps Jesus is saying, trust Me. I am the Sovereign Lord. I have the final say, and I have the final word. And perhaps we need to respond to the Lord and say, Lord, I believe You are the Sovereign Lord. I believe You are Lord of all. You're Lord of my life, and You're Lord over every situation in my life. And so, Lord, I will rest in Your goodness. I trust in You. Would you respond to the Lord this morning? Would you put your faith in Jesus? I want to invite all of us right now to take this time to pray. I'm going to lead you in a prayer that is adapted from Psalm 3. And I'm going to invite all of us to stand right now. Would you stand, and if you don't mind, would you join your hands with one another as we go into this time of prayer for those who are going through storms? We as a church are standing as one, as a family. So I'm going to lead us in Psalm chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. I've made some adaptations to it so that we can personalize it as our prayer. So would you look to the screen and let us make this our prayer this morning. All right? Psalm chapter 3, verse 1. Oh Lord, how many are my troubles? Many are rising against me. Many are saying to me, there is no help for you in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and He answered me from His holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and may your blessing be on us, your people. Amen. 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 Let us now respond to the Lord with this worship song.